Salmon Man.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of The Cammon Connections, a series of podcasts brought to you in conjunction with Shinty Memories Scotland. I'm Gary Innes, and today I'm delighted to welcome not only a legend of the sport, but an absolute gentleman to boot, who is surely loved by everyone. And he asked me to say that. Yes, it gives me the absolute pleasure of welcoming Newton Moore's very own John McKenzie. How are you doing, John?
Hi, Gar boy. You phoning in another line, were you?
I was phoning you in the mobile as well.
Oh, I was too slow.
How are you today?
That's life nowadays. Too slow at everything.
Last to the finish line.
Aye, but I cross it always, though.
As long as you keep crossing it, that's the main thing. So, looking forward to this.
Well, first memories would be even before school days, because I had uncles who were all great Shinty players, and the families on both sides were great Shinty people, and of course, Shinty was a thing that you learn probably before you even went to school. So to get to school and play Shinty there, it was pretty straightforward and easy, and it was always, we always went to school with a Shinty stick, and we were out before we played, went to the into the classroom in the morning, 9 o'clock, out again at 11 o'clock, again at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever lunchtime was, and we just played Shinty. That was it. It was endless Shinty, but it was our life and the lifestyles of that time.
What was it like during that time, John? I mean, when you were a wee boy growing up, who were the big stars at that point in the senior team that you used to look up to?
Well, I'm sure you are aware of them, a goodly number of them. Jock Paul, Gaby Fraser, Sandy Russell, Jimmy Seller, Alistair Seller, the Ralphs, Ralph Burrows, George and Sandy, and of course, the great Johnny Campbell, Brian Stewart. All those boys were, well, some of them were coming to the end of their careers when I was a young boy then, and I did have the opportunity of seeing my great uncle Angie MacDonald. I have a memory of him playing, albeit limited, but nevertheless it was an enjoyable memory that I have. And well, all those people you looked up to because they gave so much to the game, you know, as far as I'd be concerned, those were the people that you would look up to in general terms and try. I'm not saying we ever aspired to, but we always tried to achieve the levels that they showed in earlier years. So that's really what it's about, aye.
Yeah. And was it Newton Moore Primary School that you went to, John?
Oh, yes, Newton Moore Primary School. 7 years, primaries 1 to 7. Mr Finlayson was our headmaster there. He was a wonderful man. He was the person that actually, I would have said, in our era anyway, he was the gentleman that led the successes of future years whilst he was headmaster in the school at Newton Moore. In fact, he was like a father figure to us. He took us everywhere. He looked after us. Even though our parents were there, he was the gentleman that we all looked up to and chose to abide by his rules, which were pretty disciplined, I'd have to say, but nevertheless, well understood.
And going through that kind of time in Newton Moore Primary School, who were the players and the people that you were growing up round about, John?
Oh, well, the players I grew up with were John Begg. In fact, my mother and his mother took us both to school on the first day. And John Begg has been a lifelong friend over the years. And then we've got Tarzan, Tony McGregor, Ken Smith. Actually, the Fraser brothers, John and George, they were a slightly younger generation, but nevertheless, they were in and around our Shinty playing scene. Of course, Sandy Ralph, I looked up to him. He was another great Shinty player who actually I went on to serve my apprenticeship with at a later time after my schooling days. So these are some of the boys. I probably missed a few out. Huey Chisholm, of course, he was an outstanding young player. He's probably about 10 years younger than myself, but, you know, he was in and around. He was a schoolboy who actually displayed all the skills at an early age, and he matured into probably, if not the, certainly one of the greatest goalkeepers that played the game. All these people, I know my own brother-in-law, Angus, my brother was a great Shinty player too, but he chose to go into the farming business, and of course doing that, he was curtailed so much from playing, and especially having to go and look after animals and everything else all the time. So Bobby Kirk was another great Shinty player. Tony McGregor, of course. We're all of an age that actually chose to do little else than play Shinty at all levels in the game, you know. So when we were young, when we were schoolboys, played Shinty, under-17s as it was known then, juveniles, we played Shinty. We got the opportunity to sort of show your skills then, and if you were good enough, you were selected to play either for the second team. And as you progressed, moved up into perhaps first team, of which I was very pleased to be part of in later years.
Looking back at that time, John, can you remember your first senior game for the second team?
Oh, I can remember that very clearly, I have to say. But so much so that we never won anything. So, you know, we did try. At 14-year-old, I was lucky to be chosen and played in the second team. At that point, it was 1962, and we were playing some great teams then. Lochcarron was a great team then. Glenachert was a great team. And, of course, they were single-team clubs, but nevertheless, there were some good players in and around there. So we went, we managed to get to the finals, but didn't succeed, apart from one, maybe 1963, I think. My first senior medal, I got as a young player at the Lundy Cup final in Fort William in George V Park. Well, I was probably maybe 16 then, my first senior medal. I was so chuffed to get that I thought, oh, the world had opened up and it was my oyster, really, you know. But anyway, all those things are all childhood things.
Nobody can ever take that away from anyone that plays a sport and grows up, especially in an area that's fanatical about it. To get your hand on any cup medal as a youngster coming through, it just means the world to you.
Of course it means the world to you. And you know, I was very fortunate. I don't like saying too much about things because I think self-praise is no honour. But if you get to a stage in your life where you achieve, and well, certainly in my era anyway, we achieved getting into the first team, and that in itself was a huge step in a pathway to future life and times, to be perfectly honest with you, of which I have really enjoyed every minute of. Looking back, the hardships of beginning a career in shinty without winning anything, I think, stood us in good stead. And that applied to nearly all of an era which was probably really great, outstanding players. But, you know, we didn't win very much in the early stages, but went on to achieve some great and memorable moments in our lives, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, if we take the Camina Cup, for instance, John, when was your first final for Newton Moore?
Oh, that was 1966. Another defeat against Kyles and the Bacht and Inverness. It was either 3-2 or 4-2 we got beaten. I guess that was probably one of the years, if not the fittest, certainly one of the years that we were fittest ever in playing the game, and we still got beaten by the great Kyles team of that day. Bobby Nicholson was in goals. I'd like just to say that Bobby was really outstanding. I'd have to say that on that occasion, I can't use the word anointed because actually that would be wrong, but he had some fantastic saves that day, really memorable. We didn't perform to any great level. We missed two penalties, and I can still see the goals which Kyle scored as though it was yesterday. But anyway, you don't forget those things, and when we managed to achieve success, it was always sweeter.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking, you only had to wait 1 year before you did finally manage to get your hands on that cup, but a tough year losing that Scottish Cup final, especially that was the first time that Newton Moore had been in the final since 1960 at that time, so to get back into the final must have been huge for the area, but then to lose it must have been really bitterly disappointing.
It was disappointing, but then, you know, we played a truly admirable team of that era in the Kyles of Bute, or Kyles of Reddick, and the players there, they were great players, I can remember them yet. Bobby Nick was in goals, Chick Jimison was half-back, his usual place, and, you know, he was outstanding. Will McCrae was at full-back, Will, or Alistair McCrae, and his true name, but we always called him Will, great player. Barney was at centre, Jim Jimison, Neil Blair, and the great Tom Nicholson, who I have to say I truly admired and loved playing against in all my times in the game. But those were great shinty players. In fact, you could line them off one after the other, and I don't have a note of them all, but I can visually see them and remember them of that game. You know, it was quite spectacular. It was brilliant. Although we lost, we weren't disappointed. Well, we were disappointed, but, you know, we weren't downhearted. We always had a feeling that at some point we could achieve.
You only had to wait a year before you beat Inverary 3-0 at Glasgow. And tell us what that's like, a young boy from Newton Moore, you're growing up, shinty is literally your life, and now you get your hands on a Scottish Cup winner's medal.
I still have that memory of leaving Newton Moore, going to Glasgow, and we're in the bus, you know, and this Scottish dance tune was on it. It was played by Jimmy Blue in the River Cree. I can remember it yet, being played, going down in the bus, and I'm thinking, this will be great if it's like this coming back home. And you know what? I think it was one tune played throughout the whole journey home, but anyway, it was good. All right. And, you know, we stayed in the Pond Hotel if I remember rightly. And there's a boating marina in there, you know. Well, the boats got exercised over the course of the evening, which was another thrill, probably wet inside and out, but it didn't really matter. it was some times, some great times.
Well, I hope that brought back some great memories here, John. Now, as part of this series, I've also been talking to Barney from Kyle's, and we were talking about their success just through the sort of same era, just a little before yourself coming in with Newton Moore to the sort of the winning streak. And then, of course, Kyle's going to take it in 1968 and 69. And then I was talking to Barney about those 1970 and 71 finals.
Barney wouldn't want to be mentioning those two.
No. Well, I wouldn't imagine anyone would want to talk about a 7-1 beating back-to-back each year. I mean, you must have been absolutely flying at this point.
Well, the team then began to sort of, I would say, probably picked itself in many respects, you know. But we never went on to the field with a feeling that we would get beaten. We always went on and tried to aspire to achieve and win. Now, not always did that happen, but those two occasions, the one on the Dale and the next year in Inverness, were, well, really special. Two young boys, well, to us, so younger boys, John and George Fraser, they really came into their prime at that point. Sandy Ralph was there and Ken McIntosh, and that team pretty much throughout a 10-year, maybe even more, period picked itself, and we were, well, we were very grateful for all that we achieved and all that the village achieved, because we didn't do anything without And I believe this is across life. You don't do anything in a team manner. You're just a part of a group. And the village was very much part of our group because everybody was behind us. Everybody wanted to be with you. Everybody wanted to enjoy the success that was coming along with the team's success. So there's lots of lovely things that we could attribute to that period of time. And I feel very fortunate that actually I was part of it. My home is in the village here. I don't expect it will change too much now. But different days nowadays, but those days I look back with fond memories, I have to say.
John, how many Kamina Cup finals did you play in?
Well, I played in 14, 10 of which we won.
Incredible.
Well, you might say incredible, but I felt very fortunate to be part of it. And I have truly joyous memories of all of those days. Winning and losing as well. You know, the losing, I think, kind of drove you on a little bit more to try and achieve or maintain what you had, and not always did we win, and there's always somebody better than you around the corner, so we never forgot that. Even referees, the people who refereed at that time, they were past 20 players as well, a goodly number if not all, and you respected those individuals at the highest level. I mean, there's some great individuals in there, but enjoying the friendships and the scene following, whatever it might have been, win or lose, so yeah, it was all good, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that the sport lends itself to making friends for life, and there's very few villages that you can actually go to that play shinty that you've played in. There's not at least two or three doors you can still go and knock on and get a cup of tea and a good catch-up with someone.
I'm delighted to say, Gary, that is a matter of fact. I guess there could be more than two or three doors, but we'll not go into that detail. But that aside, the friendships that you make across a lifetime in the game are very special, both locally, the wider scene, even in the international scene. I've got friends in Ireland who have been friends for, well, I better be careful here now and get my facts right here, but I've got to say 50 plus years, one of whom of late hasn't been keeping too well, but I'm delighted to say he's on the mend and up and running again, coaching Hurley over in Dublin. So yes, friendships are made in shinty. I believe they're made for life, to be perfectly honest with you. Well, I think most, if not all, I wouldn't say there's always opportunity for better improved friendships, but, you know, I would have to say pretty much my lifetime anyway, I don't think I've had a wrong word with too many. Maybe they'll disagree with me at times, but they take it back door and get on with it, you know?
Exactly.
You try and fight your corner. Well, not with the fists. But, you know, there was a time when we could do that on the shindy field, but, you know, those days are certainly past. You can go on to the field, but you'll not be playing. You can walk on, but perhaps you might not be walking off if you say something out of turn. But anyway, that's life.
John, looking back at those 12 Cup finals, and we're just looking only at the Kamina Cup finals just now, we haven't even touched on the league and the McTavish and all the other competitions that you were involved with. But when you look back at that time and over those finals, pick out a couple of special moments for us, or some of the games that really resonate with you, you think back now and you just can't help but smile.
Well, there's probably one or two, but our first winner's medal in Glasgow against Inverary. Well, I was probably, in later years, better known for my defensive standing, if that's the right word, I'm not too sure. At that point in time, I was playing forward, and I managed to score a goal in that final. It was also a final that I arrived at with just recovering from a broken forefinger from a McTavish Cup final. And I was so chuffed to be able to get to play on that occasion. I can remember Angie Bain, who was our chieftain of the club then, coming on to me on the bus in the morning and saying to me, "Are you sure you're going to be okay to play today?" And I sort of looked at him and said, "I'll be playing today. As long as I'm picked to play, I'll be playing." And, you know, that's a memorable occasion because I was probably about 5 weeks not playing prior to that because of my broken fingers. But that aside, on that occasion, that was another great day. I think another cup final again in Glasgow. I was honoured to be awarded the Man of the Match. The Man of the Match was only probably about 2 years, maybe 3 years in existence at that point in time. I think Johnny Campbell got the first one. I think Kenny McNiven might have been next. And I was in and around that selection at that point. But that was in the 1970s then. So that was another memorable occasion, winning that in Glasgow, the Albert Smith Medal. We managed to beat Kyles that day as well. Quite an animated game, but it was some contest between two who desperately wanted to win the game. I think in overall terms, you could say every win was memorable. I think anybody that aspires, and you know this as well as I do, Gary, anybody that aspires to play in shinty and playing a Camara Cup final and moreover winning it, it's a wonderful feeling to have during and following any match, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think played in 14 and winning 10, I think, sort of speaks for itself, but yet everyone was enjoyable and everyone memorable.
Yeah, I bet you. And the parties that preceded, I'm sure, lasted for days and days.
Well, now, that's another story. They did last for days. On occasion, I've seen the boys celebrating on the following Friday and then perhaps thinking, oh, we've got to play Shinty tomorrow. Now, that was a challenge in itself, being sensible about things, which was often found very challenging, I have to say. Celebrations did go on. Everybody enjoyed it. People from far and wide in our community here, they all enjoyed it. We're all part of it. We used to have bonfires as well for a Camara Cup final win.
Really?
We had a bonfire, and well, we used to have it on Kraken here, as we call it, on the hill, and there was a special night. That might be on the Monday night or even the Tuesday night following. And that went on again for maybe 24-hour celebration. But we all had to go to work, or at least I went to work. I'm not sure I was feeling the best, but I was always at my work. He had to think of that. Of course, I had a wife and family to look after as well, so it's all part and parcel of the game, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your wife and family. And did they accept the game as it was and how much time you were spending with it and just how much it meant to you?
Well, I had a dear wife who meant everything in that respect. She supported me in everything I was doing. There was times when, actually, we'd be training four nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday night was an off night, I have to say. We didn't train on a Friday night, but away on a Saturday. And always my wife and boys were with me as well. And that was the case with the rest of the wives. Wives and families went. In general terms, if it was a cup final or a semi-final or something like that, you know, there was always a Sinclair's bus, the favourite bus that took us everywhere. It saw some hairy moments, I'd have to say, and after-match celebrations, but always well appreciated by Donnie Sinclair and indeed his family, because they supported the club greatly as well. My wife, back to married life, she supported everything that I did, playing or administering or whatever it may have been. I'll have to say that she put up with a lot. Sadly, she's no longer with us, but she certainly was my mentor and supporter throughout my shinty playing careers as well as administration.
John, what age did you stop playing shinty at?
I stopped playing shinty at 36. I kind of sustained quite a bad injury. In fact, as you get older, injuries are less, they're more frequent and less recoverable in shorter periods of time. My working life was involving quite long hours. I was in management at that time as well, or setting out in management life, and I had to consider that and married life and children and family to bring up, so I couldn't be dependent on others doing my job and working life, so I eventually called it a day at 36. You might remember the refurbishment of the old Aylin, as we would call it, resurfaced, shall we say, and redeveloped, and there was a friendly match organised between Kyles and Newton Moor to open the Aylin. And after I got my arm broken, which was the end of my playing career, I really wanted to go back and play just to show myself that I could play after sustaining it and recovering from an injury. So that was probably my last game in earnest, shall we say, for Newton Moor. Now that would be way back in 1982, perhaps 83. I was captain then for the second time round. First time round, won the McTavish, and that was in 1968. Took me 20 plus years to get a Camara Cup winner's silver mounted stick, so I pretty much achieved everything that I could in that period of time, especially getting the silver mounted stick for the Camara Cup winner, captain. So 36, I felt it was time to call it a day. Much to my regret, I have to say, much to my regret. I'd have loved to carry on playing, but, you know, there was two boys carried on after I played my career out, and Tarzan being one and Hughie Chisholm being the other. They both achieved the winning of 12 Camara Cup medals. So that in itself was a great achievement for those two boys, because they'd given so much to the club and the game. I'll go back to say that, really, you don't achieve anything in a team game if you're not playing together. And I was fortunate that I played in what I consider to be a great team. And we achieved most, if not all, things together. And no regrets. No regrets at giving up the game. Disappointment at having to give it up. But that's the way it goes. I don't think we would have won it without all being together and achieving things together. So, there we go.
What a son of a king, how
The wonderful voice there of Donnie Munro and Sheena Van. Now, John, you're 36 years old. You've just finished playing Shinty. What happens next?
Well, believe it or not, there was a bit of sadness probably a few years later. The great Jock Paul sadly passed on. Jock was very much part of our era in terms of managing the game, as you would call a manager then. But, you know, Jock, and it was a committee that actually managed the team. Jock was part of it. Anyway, Jock sadly passed on, perhaps prematurely, but then, of course, succession came into it, and who was going to follow Jock and everything else. Ah, well, I was asked if I would take on the role of the chieftain, as it was known then. I was asked if I'd take it on, and I'd give it some consideration. Looking back, no concerns about that at all. A lot of things were changing in the game, part of which Jock was, Gaby Fraser was, and you can remember there was a fairly high-level conference held in Newton Moor to look at the game of shinty and how it was played and how it was managed and this, that and the next thing. And things had begun to change at that point in time. Anyway, I was chieftain of the club then. From there, I was 10 years as chief of Newton Moor Club, and a lot was you know, a lot of stuff changed at that point in time. A new field, new pavilion, bought the field, and lots of things moved on from what was historically a village scene and a club scene that was very much to the fore in the sport of shinty. That was the start of my sort of administrative career, because I was fortunate in that that's what I was doing in my daily working routine. So I used that to support myself and the club going forward. And what you see today is what was part of the scene, or the development of a scene then. So that's my early stages of administrative work.
And obviously all that's still there to be seen today. And then, of course, then came your work with the Camanachd Association.
Yeah, work with the Camanachd Association. Well, I was part of what you would call the North Executive Committee at an early point through my links with the club here in Newton Moor. And I joined the North Executive Committee. I think you were voted on at an annual general meeting and that. So became part of that, eventually chairing the North Committee 6 or 7 years, getting involved in the various elements of the administrative side of the North area, and enjoyed that greatly. Of course, you get involved in other things like coaching and managing, as it's now known, and the selective process of representative teams, and all part of a movement that was all changing, to be honest with you. And that was across the game. There was a lot of feeling in the game that things needed to change. And that was as a result of the hierarchy of the game before I finished playing. Those people were very, very influential. Gaby Fraser, Jack Richmond, another. And, you know, the wider scene, Sally Patterson, GY, Slater, Oban, as you'll remember. All those people all came together to review the game and how it should go forward. And then, you know, that's where I kind of came involved in whatever way I could, just supporting what was going on. I was fortunate to be asked to do things and try my best to do what I could. And it's all history since that, I suppose.
Well, it's all history indeed. But going back to that time and some of the changes, did you agree with all the changes that were getting made?
It's difficult to say. Some of the changes that did happen, they were required. They were definitely required. If you look at a period when I was playing shinty, you know, on some occasions, we used to bath in the rivers running beside the shinty field after a game. We just jump in there, get the clothes off, jump into the river, and that was your bath or your shower or whatever it was. There was no soap, mind you, I have to say, but, you know, we just went in there and did what we had to do and cut the clothes on. We probably came home dirty and we went, but anyway.
With a salmon in your pocket.
Honestly, but it was all fun, it was all great crap. But that's the development, that was the development of the game. Pavilions got produced and built, the facilities became so much more beneficial to all playing the game, so much more beneficial to go to that location, whatever it might be, whatever field you were going to, and enjoy after match, whatever it was, tea or high tea or soup and sandwiches or whatever, in the facilities that you were playing in. So all of those things were all, this was all new development. Now, there are very few in the game who don't have changing facilities and or great surfaces to play the game on. Again, here we go, going back to looking at surfaces in the game and that. You know, some of us, we used to play in not the best conditions, I'd have to say, and often you'd lose the ball in the process because it was so gittery and just unplayable, if you want to put it that way. But those circumstances have changed in the main, and the facilities and playing surfaces that the game is now played on are some of the best in sporting terms across our nation. So they're all good and they're all success for the game, which is great.
Do you think the sport's in a strong place just now?
I think it's in a healthy position as far as finance is concerned. I think it's reasonably well managed at that level, which is certainly a success. I'm not too sure about finer elements of the game. The skills, I think, and a bit of this has got to do with health and safety. The game has changed so substantially in health and safety terms. The game of our generation, I guess, be a challenge to play it, because it was much more physical then in comparative terms to what it is now. And it's often considered quite physical, but I don't think it is. The physical element of the game has been taken away because of health and safety. I think the general skills of the game need to be looked at very, very closely, because I think if you use the skills of the game, blocking, clicking, stopping the ball, hitting the ball, if you use those skills, you can protect yourself properly and make life so much easier for yourself and, of course, referees. And health and safety in it is definitely important, but it might be a little lesser important with the skills of the game used to the full and the way and what I believe they should be. There are a few great exponents of the game just now, and they do stand out when you watch a game. sometimes we are catering for the less skilled. I don't think it's a bad thing, but it shouldn't be at the expense of the skills of the game. They should be foremost in everything that's going on and retained at all costs, inclusive of health and safety.
Newton Moore and Kinyusi have what's regarded as the biggest rivalry within the sport. What was it like growing up in a village and playing for a club that your biggest rivals were 3 miles down the road?
Difficult to answer that one. It wasn't difficult for us, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm pretty sure it wasn't difficult for Kinyusi either, because let me tell you, there's probably not the great majority of people in the game know that I'm half Kinyusi and half Newton Moore. But better known, I'm the greater half of Newton Moore. My mother was a McDonald from Newton Moore. My dad was a McKenzie from Kinyusi. Both families played in the game for both clubs, to be perfectly honest with you. I wore a red and blue jersey in school. But really, that was the ultimate use of the red and blue jersey, I'd have to say. It was a blue and white jersey always that you took great pride in winning. I'd have to say it's probably still the same yet, maybe to a slightly lesser degree, because I think it's much more tempered. Not bad-tempered, but it's much more tempered in terms of the enthusiasm displayed, shall we say. I think the referees are... Well, I can actually remember a game on the Dell where the referee was threatened with a swim in the Spey. Not voluntary, but he was told in no uncertain terms, for some people, that, and I can witness this, to be perfectly honest, he was told in no uncertain terms that that's where he would land if he didn't improve. And this was one of the great referees of the game. And he enjoyed using that expression and those terms when exchanging conversation in dinners and after match speeches, you know. So that person was much respected, I'd have to say, both personally and collectively in the game. But it was seldom that we went over the score. Do you understand what I'm meaning here, Gary?
Absolutely.
In exchanges, we played the 90 minutes. We played it pretty hard, I'd have to say, on occasion. And you played to win for your colours, simple as that. You know, I played against my own brother-in-law. I played pretty much all my career against the great Donnie Grant. And he and I, we exchanged our sporting abilities on the field, but when we came off 90 minutes, that was it, finished. Today, we're still the best of friends, I think anyway, that we had been over the time of our playing careers, and I'm very pleased to say that I still enjoy Donnie's company and his wife's company from time to time, even though he's in not such great health as he was in his youthful days. I still enjoy his company, and we have some great brothers of past experiences.
I bet, yeah. Some great days on the field, and I'm sure,
well,
off the field.
Yes, some great days on and off it too, I have to say. Because we shared lots of experiences managing Scotland, the Cindy Hurling and Sporting Cup final occasions, and North-South Ventures, representative games there. It's great enjoyment to look back on and think of the good times that we shared.
John, looking back, I suppose, at everything that you have achieved, are there anyone or certain people that kind of come to mind that you would like to thank?
Well, I'm going back to the very point I made in the first instance. I don't think you achieve anything by yourself. There's a lot of individuals that I could thank. First and foremost, it would have to be my late wife, and now my friend, Mrs. Alison McRae, because she still thinks I'm overly involved and shouldn't be, but anyway, that's another matter. I think I need to mention the mentors of our great Newton Moore team, the like of Sandy Russell. I think Sandy Russell was a great man. He taught me a lot, both administratively and sporting terms. Chuck Paul, of course, G.B. Fraser. There's another couple of great friends that I have in the sport. The late Tom Nicholson was a person that influenced me greatly because I loved playing against him. I loved playing with him. Another man who I like and admire greatly was Ali McCrea from Lovett. And there's lots and lots of other people that I could easily mention here, but, you know, without all those people, the friendships that I've made, the connections that I've made, the enjoyment that I've had, I don't think I'd be the person I am now because of those individuals who have supported me and guided me influentially, I have to say, along life's pathway. You know, it's being philosophical about life, but as I say, I don't think you achieve anything on your own. And more importantly, I was never a person to blow my own trumpet. I think self-praise is no honour. And whatever I've done in Shinty is for the love of the game and enjoyment of the game. And the people I've met, the friendships I've made, all those things have been very important to me in my life. Even my working career, I've had some great friendships. I've met great people. I've enjoyed their company. I've enjoyed their guidance. So, frankly, I've done nothing on my own. It's through other people's support and influences. Whatever I've achieved has never been on my own.
John, thank you so, so much. That was just brilliant.
Gary, it's a privilege speaking to you and an honour, I have to say. For a person that I'm lucky that I've got people like yourself to be able to talk to. I'll see you soon.
I look forward to it. You be good.
Well, I'll try my best. It's a challenge, always has been, and it's one I'm still aspiring to.
That a boy.
All the best.
Cheers, cheers, John. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, thanks, Gary. Bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
The day we met, handing me a yellow rose. You asked me out, and to your surprise and to mine, I said I'd go. I thought it so romantic, and I found you sweet and bold. Though we'd only met, I still said yes to a single yellow rose. You were the one to sleep with me at night, to laugh and talk and share my thoughts and hold me when I cry, and on every rare occasion and for no good reason to a big bouquet.
You love me.